Will you pray with me? O Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out in good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In this sermon series, we're looking at the gospel in David's life. We're not looking at what David does, but what God does through David. This is really a picture of how God uses each one of us to further his gospel. The first week, we looked at the anointing of David, how God chose the least likely person or son, David, from Jesse's family, to do great things. We learned to look less at the outward appearance and look more at the heart. Last week, we looked at David battling Goliath, but found that it is really God who is battling the giant Goliath for him, and God battling the giants in our lives as well. We learned that we need to let go of the fight and let God fight for us. Today we're going to take a look at what it is like to be tempted to seek revenge. Now, I remember when I was very young, there was a boy in my neighborhood, a couple years older than me, Joey Beatty. Don't we always remember their name? He picked on all of us kids in the neighborhood. So I decided to seek revenge. We had some crabapple trees in our yard, so I picked a bunch of crabapples and put them in a bucket. I climbed up into our tree, it was a climbing tree, it was awesome, that stretched right over the sidewalk. There I sat, waiting for Joey to come riding underneath me on his bicycle. And then I would dump the whole bucket of crabapples on him. I waited, and I waited, and I waited. God had other plans. Joey never showed up. And I climbed back down very disappointed and went inside the house for dinner. That day, God did not allow me to seek the revenge I so wanted. As we look at our Old Testament reading for today, we find David on the run from Saul, his enemy, who desires to find David and kill him. A little background on the relationship. Saul is the king, and he sent David to battle Goliath for him. David wins, and David continues to win battles. People praise David by saying that Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Saul becomes jealous of David and attempts to kill him several times. David flees, and Saul begins to hunt David down. This is where we come in with today's reading. David and his men were in a cave hiding from Saul. Saul comes into the cave to rest. While in the cave, David's men tell him that his enemy was being given into his hands to do what he wants to him. David could have killed Saul and taken his rightful place as king, which God had anointed him for. However, David chooses a different path and is able, with God's help and guidance, to sneak up and cut a piece of Saul's cloak off. Amazing. David resisted revenge after all Saul had done to him. Now, David had a very odd reaction to his own action. This act of cutting Saul's cloak caused David inner turmoil. He was conscience-stricken that he had cut the robe of Saul, God's anointed king, and his king too. After Saul leaves the cave and is some distance away, David calls out to Saul and explains how he could have killed him, but did not, trying to show his loyalty to Saul. David tried to convince Saul that he, David, had not done anything against Saul to cause Saul to want to hunt him down. And David had now even spared Saul's life. Saul has temporary remorse right away and tells David that he asks that God will reward David and that David will one day be king. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells us to love our enemies and resist seeking revenge, just like David did. This is tough for us to do as we fight our sinful nature. The gospel message we take away from this is that David did not choose to take the kingship away from Saul by killing him. But instead, David understands that because God gave the kingship to Saul, it was God's to take away. David would wait for God's timing, not his own. This is probably the hardest part of the story for us to adopt into our own lives. We want things done in our own way, in our own timing, and we do not want to wait for anything. This is especially true when the situation we are facing is someone who is treating us badly and we know that they are wrong. I'm sure all of us can look back at a time in our lives when we wanted to do something in our own timing, and then when we looked back at it, we can see how God's timing was so much better. How many of you right now are feeling this sense of waiting heavy on your heart? As we look at the current state of affairs in our world, we just want things to get back to normal. We want to be able to get together with people without social distancing and without a mask. We want our schools and our churches to be able to gather as they should. We want to be able to go to a sporting event or an amusement park like we used to do. We just don't want to wait anymore. It's hard to wait on God's timing in all of this. But we all know that we need to trust that God's timing is best. Just like it always has been. Even though David knew that God had planned for him to be king, he waited on God's timing and did not take the kingship for himself. God had David show mercy on Saul. This was the Holy Spirit working restraint in David's heart. As Beth Moore says in her book, A Heart Like His, which is a book about the heart of David, a moment's revenge is not worth the cost of alienation from God. Not even the revenge we've been waiting for and feel so justified to seize. Here's another example of revenge. It's one of my favorites. When he was an attorney, Abraham Lincoln was once approached by a man who passionately insisted on bringing a suit for $2.50 against an impoverished debtor. Lincoln tried to discourage him, but the man was bent on revenge. When he saw that the man would not back off, Lincoln agreed to take the case. Lincoln asked for a legal fee up front of $10, which the plaintiff paid. Lincoln then gave half the money to the defendant, who willingly confessed to the debt and paid the $2.50. Now, if you did not quite follow the money trail, here's what happened. Abraham Lincoln ended up with $5 for his time. The impoverished debtor ended up with $2.50. And the plaintiff was out $7.50. But even more amazing than Lincoln's ingenious settlement was the fact that the irate plaintiff was actually satisfied with this. I love revenge going wrong. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, it speaks about how we are God's enemies and we are brought to God through reconciliation in the death of his Son. God shows us his mercy when we did not deserve it. Because of the mercy God shows to us, when we are still sinners, we should show mercy to those we consider our enemies. Now, we cannot do this on our own. It is only through the strength in Christ and the Holy Spirit that we can show this mercy. Then and only then will we have peace from God flowing through our hearts. Now, we do not want to be blind to our selfish goals of revenge, but we want to be open to giving mercy and love. Every day, we need to ask the Holy Spirit that through what we have learned from David's examples, we would act that way too. My prayer for all of us today is for us to have the eyes of Jesus, bringing peace and mercy to others, especially to those who are mistreating us. Amen.